Hello, and thanks for joining us for this episode of The Dinfos Way, a podcast developed and produced at the Defense Information School. This program is dedicated to developing and showcasing the skills of military communicators, public affairs professionals, and industry experts from all over the world. I'm your host, Jack Rouse. I'm a former Navy and civilian journalist and a current training specialist here at Dinfos. This is a very special episode for prospective students and for any folks who wonder, what is the Defense Information School? Who do we teach? What are our courses? And what exactly is it that we do here at Dinfos? Today, we're going to answer those questions, and joining us to help answer them is the Director of Training for the Defense Information School, Mr. Don Smith. Mr. Smith has been the DOT here since 2019, and he leads a highly diverse team of more than 200 Joint Service military, DoD civilian, and contract instructors responsible for the professional development and education of over 1,500 military, DoD, and interagency civilians and international students annually in the public affairs and visual information career fields. Mr. Smith, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.
We really appreciate you coming on the show. You know, you're really in charge of everything we do here training-wise, and training is what we do. And we've had a lot of really great episodes of the podcast where we've talked to industry experts from Adobe and from the Washington Nationals and just people from all over the place, but we've never really talked about who we are and what we do. So this episode is for really anyone who is interested in the schoolhouse, prospective students, possible recruits in the future, you know, other industry experts who are who have those same questions and concerns. And I thought, who better to bring on than you? So again, I appreciate your time. The first question I have for you is just tell me a little bit about who you are and how you got here before you became the DOT.
Well, I've been here at the Defense Information School since 2000, where I came in as an instructor and then became a video production documentation instructor, the lead instructor for that course. And then within 2 weeks, I was transferred over to the basic still photographer's course and the multimedia department as the lead instructor for the it was the graphics course, the basic multimedia illustrator's course, as well as the visual information manager's course, what used to be known as electronic imaging course, which is now the digital multimedia course.
We had so many courses back here. I went through in 1999. So I went through BJC and BBC back when it was called those things. So I feel you. There's just so many things that we used to do, so many things that we still do. It's hard to keep track of all of them over the years. But and you were in the Navy, correct?
I was. 23 years. I retired in 2008. And when I retired, I was a senior chief here at the Defense Information School as the director of training, non-commissioned officer in charge. I also spent some time in several aspects of the building to include curriculum development office, as well as multimedia department, academic director, acting department head, and several other positions in the building. I was originally came in the Navy as a photographer and then did the conversion to mass communication specialist, which is kind of the baseline for where we are now with a mass communications foundations course.
Isn't that funny how we've come really full circle from what we learned originally in the Navy? I was a JO, you were a PH, and essentially what we learned was really the foundation for what we teach today. It's interesting how we've kind of come full circle over the years.
Yeah, the interesting thing is every time I tried to, every time I went in PCS to a different location, my goal was to get a different training. So I was able to get seven different NECs to include the video, the multimedia, photographer, all that sort of stuff. So I was able to get a lot of information and then bring it back here to Dinfos and try to incorporate where we are right now in terms of the merger.
So what is it that the director of training does every day for somebody who doesn't know what you do?
Well, put out a lot of fires. for the director of training, for those that to kind of give you an idea, it's kind of like a principal in a high school where everything that's coming your way, you're responsible for the people that are implementing the training. You're responsible for the student's safety and their well-being, their education, and everything in between. So it creates a very busy day, but it's never boring, that's for sure.
Meetings and trainings and going into classrooms and making decisions and just essentially being the principal, right?
So pretty much, yes.
That's a great way to put it. So having said that, what really can you explain from your perspective, what is the primary mission of the Defense Information School? And if you had to explain it in layman's terms, what is it that we do here exactly?
We teach public affairs and visual information courses to military, DOD, international students, as you already mentioned in your opening. It goes a little bit beyond that, though. What we're trying to do is create a critical mindset where you start thinking about how visual information and public affairs relates to trying to get a commander's message out or trying to make sure the American public understands where we're coming from and what we're doing in terms of what the military is and what we do every day. We don't have a whole lot of opportunity to put a lot of commercials on the TV, you know, so there's always recruitment commercials. But for us, it's a very small community as relation to the regular service. And we're trying to put together a kind of a jack of all trades student so that way we can get out there and get the communication mission done.
And that's across the board, regardless of what we do, right? We are trying to make sure that everyone is multi-trained in as many aspects of our career field as we can possibly make them. Is that correct?
That is correct. Back in the day, we were very siloed in how we trained our folks. It took many years to kind of get everybody into the merger idea. So we had photographers, we had graphic artists, we had video people, we had directors, we had a lot of different facets, but nothing that was in one real direction. So you had an officer or a commander that was in charge of something, and their job was to put all these pieces together. The problem we had at the time was people were very, very good at what they did. I was very good as a photographer, and I had people that were very good at graphics. But that graphics person maybe couldn't write a story, or that photographer couldn't do graphics. The lithographers for the Navy side of the house are print people. They weren't able to kind of do some of the artistic side of the house, but they were very good at what they were. The problem is all those things come draw down time, whether it's, the time for to start budget savings or whatever. You might only have, and I use this on a regular basis, and maybe people have heard this before, there's only one seat on the helicopter. And you have to get a video, you have to get a story, and you have to get photos. Well, there's only one seat. You have three different skill sets that you need. So the best idea is to try to maintain one person that can do all of those things and go out and get the mission done in all facets.
I 100% agree with you. And my next question was going to be, how has our training evolved over the years? But you just explained it right there. You know, we went from a mindset of those individuals that were master experts in everything to being able to fill as many sets as possible with the best possible person in all of those skill sets. And I think that really has been the evolution in training that we've seen over the years. I think for good, quite frankly, because I think that's the way it's gone in the civilian world, and I think that's where all professional communicators are turning towards, to being well-versed in every skill. So I think that's invaluable. What are some of our key training programs here for anybody who doesn't know what DINFOS does?
Well, our core training is initial entry training for our enlisted and then the public affairs training for our officers. So those two main courses that we do, the Mass Communication Foundations course is for the enlisted. That is people just coming off the street to be trained in every aspect or every discipline of the visual information and communication arts. The public affairs side of the house teaches the public affairs. It also teaches critical thinking, laws, regulations, situational type leadership, decision making, all that critical to making sure the commander's mission is carried forth.
So that segues nicely into my next question, which is, folks here, as you mentioned, that are enlisted, any service members who come into our career field in the military, we're the only school that does this. So they come here and they go through now the Mass Communications Foundations course. Can you explain what that course is, sort of what its goal is and what the students can expect from it?
Well, the Mass Communications course is a combination of nine different classes that we kind of put together. So we took the bits and pieces and talked to the services and the combatant commanders and said, what do you need in a communication specialist? In this case, visual information and public affairs. So from that aspect of it, we got all the key elements from each one of the courses and some of the things. We used to go really, really deep into it, and times have changed. Technology has changed. Some of that stuff is kind of antiquated. So now we were trying to get up with the time, so to speak. Some of those courses hadn't been changed in years. Taking the key elements of what we need a mass communication specialist to do, and that communicator needs to be able to do each one of these things, as we talked about before. They have to be able to do the visual arts. They have to be able to do public relations. They have to be able to communicate and relay that information to people. And if they're able to do that, then they're going to provide that mission. So we built the Mass Communication Foundations course As an example, we used to do the Navy's course, which the MC course at the time, was the same sort of idea. The Navy was the first one to get on board quite a few years ago. We first pitched the idea under the Commandant Curry Graham. He was a Navy captain, and he pitched it out to the services. Well, at the time, the services weren't really ready for that. So it took a better part of 10, 15 years before they started realizing that we had less people and we had more jobs to do. So it seemed like a really good idea. We were able to sell that, and hence the Mass Communication Foundations was born. So the students that are coming out of there are learning all the aspects of it. They're not going to be experts in any one. There's always going to be somebody that picks up a skill a little bit more than another skill, or they do something a little bit more fluent than others. But they still all have the same baseline knowledge, and then they can take that back out to the field, get OJT, get some experience under the belt, take some other classes, come back to DINFOS. In my mind, I went through the Navy's photography course, and I didn't know if the Navy was teaching me the right way. I was 18. I had no idea whether, you know, this was just Navy stuff or whether this is actual photography stuff. So as soon as I graduated from what we call the A school, the first school that you go to for your NEC, I took a college class, college color photography class. And it was very interesting. The instructor was awesome. I was a great guy. He was very good at photography. However, it was also key in me understanding that what the military was training our people was far more than what any college is going to be able to do out there, not inside of a semester anyway. If you take a four-year or master's program in visual information, sure, you might get that. But we went deep into things on the Navy side of the house. So much so that caused my high school art director, to ask me to come back and teach high school. Wow. So I started teaching that when I had the time. I would go back in and teach photography to the high schoolers from 7th to 12th grade, which kind of got me into the education side of the house here.
That's really cool.
And then taking all that knowledge and transitioning to realize our training is really good. Mm-hmm. It's very thorough. The MCF is going to be able to scratch the surface because of time frame, but we're here for follow-up training. We do mobile training teams. We answer questions. Our instructors and faculty are awesome. They are dedicated to the students. They're making sure they understand and they are ready for their jobs when they go back out to the fleet in the field.
One of the things that I think the course really concentrates on is making sure the students are experiencing real-world situations and scenarios in their training. Can you speak to how important it was when the course was designed to sort of make sure that was something that was happening?
Oh, absolutely. And we've been redesigning the course ever since we created it, just to try to make it more realism, so to speak. The idea is to try to take real-world scenarios and real-world experiences and take them out of the newsreels or out of the history books and be able to translate that to the students and give them a good example of how they can use these skills. There's a lot of different things out in the news that you could use as an example, but some of these students are quite a bit younger than some of those stories. So we have to make sure that we have something that's up to date that they can identify with. Right now, we have, you know, social media. Back in the day, we didn't have social media. Many of us didn't even have computers. So there's a whole different realm of technology that you've got to be able to identify, and our faculty need to keep up on those technology changes and make sure the students understand it. So then they can relate that to the next generation.
And that segues beautifully into my next question, which was, how do we keep up with those technological advancements? Is the course constantly changing? Are we applying revisions to it? You know, for folks who have those questions, how do we adapt to those emerging technologies and in this constantly changing information space?
Well, we definitely want to get in with the industry. We want to make sure that industry, we're aligned with them. Whatever is coming out, when we first went into social media, it was MySpace, which transitioned into everything that we have now and so many social media platforms, and then very little regulation. Now we have artificial intelligence coming in there. So we have to keep up on those things that are happening in the world that people are going to identify with, where they're going to get their news media from. Where are they getting their information? Are they only reading the headline? Are they actually reading the whole story? Are they looking at just the pictures and the captions to put the story together and connect the dots? So we have to keep up on that as best as we can, and we do that through constant communication with our services to see what's changing in their particular rates. We do that with industry to make sure that we're keeping up on that, and obviously, you know, with AI taking over the world right now, it is definitely something that we want to, you know, make sure that we incorporate in everything that we're doing as much as practical, keeping the foundational knowledge for at least our enlisted students so they understand that if that computer is not there, they still know how to write.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I was here, I've been here for 7 years now, and I started pre-MCF, and I remember the very first few iterations of MCF, and it has changed and adapted over time. And we're just now going through what I think is the largest revision that the MCF course has ever gone through. And we are adding so many of those things that you just mentioned, you know, more information about social media, more information about mis and disinformation, and really just adapting to that changing information space. And I think it just shows how important it is that we stay up to the times and how even in this rapidly evolving space, the course itself is evolving to make sure our students are prepared as best as possible.
Right. No, absolutely. I was lucky enough through my career in the military to be able to get some diverse training, and that's what we're trying to do here. In the new course that we're revising, the course is 88 days, vice 108, so that way we can get those folks out to the fleet in the field a little quicker, a little better trained. The course is focusing more on individualized feedback and coaching. We have incorporated real-world scenarios. We've got a great mid-course exercise plan that should kind of bring all the concepts to a conclusion for the students, and that way they're better prepared for what they're going to get they're going to face out in their next commands.
One of the things that you mentioned way earlier for folks is that we do really have two sides of the building here. We have the enlisted side that go through MCF and some of our follow-ons, and then we have the officer side that concentrates on the public affairs side. We've seen and both heard anecdotally a little bit of a disconnect between what the officer corps sort of thinks that our enlisted service members are trained to do when they get out there and what they are actually trained to do. So can you speak a little bit towards the officers directly of what they can expect from our service members as brand new graduates of MCF and DINFOS?
No, absolutely. I think the officer community and the commanders out there, when they're getting these new, brand new students out there, sometimes students get a little nervous. If they do something, one skill better than something else, they may not advertise that skill. They may not do that well. So what happens is they kind of get lost in the space a little bit, where the understanding becomes, oh, well, DINFOS didn't train you. And quite opposite, the fact is that we are training them in a lot of different things. A student is going to be able to perform these duties to a certain level from a basic idea, and some of them a little bit more intermediate. So from the concepts, they're going to be able to understand the command messaging. They're going to be able to understand how to get the mission and what the commander's mission is and the intent. They're going to understand how to put those products together to make sure they can illustrate the point. So they can take a photo, they can do an infographic, they can do a video, they can do a quick public service announcement, all these sort of things that they are able to do because they're trained here. It is probably the widest dissemination of information that we're doing anywhere in the military, definitely, because this is the only school. But even if you go into these colleges, there's a lot of things that are streamlined in colleges, but they're focused on a certain thing, not necessarily all the job-related skills that we're expected to do. So although the students will not be an expert in any one particular item when they leave here from the initial training, they will definitely be exposed and understand how to do it and have created those products so they can get the commander's mission moving forward.
Perfect. How do you see the career field and the instruction that we teach here sort of evolving over the next 5 to 10 years? Do we have plans in place for that? Do we have a 5 or 10 year plan?
Well, we definitely have a 5 or 10 year plan. We've got a lot of strategic initiatives. Part of that is going to be where the industry is going in terms of artificial intelligence, misinformation, disinformation. Mm-hmm. What is that information battle space looking like? What do we need to be agile and be able to accommodate making sure that those missions are clear and be able to move them forward? So there's a lot of different ideas on where we're going to go. Right now, from the foundational side of the house, we are trying to include, at least in our development process, using the use of AI. I have spent a lot of money and continue planning on spending a lot of money on training our faculty in terms of what artificial intelligence is, how to create better workflows, and then how to create sensible, logical, and ethical products, so that way we can go out there. But the best idea there is to make sure that they're using it as a supplement. Just like social media, when it came out, it was a tool. AI is a tool. And if we use them properly and we can train our students to use them properly, then we can do things much more efficiently and we can be more agile with getting those messages out. So I know we're looking to the future as to what we can do here in the schoolhouse to make the schoolhouse better. One of those ideas is to create DINFOS as a degree-granting institution, an associate-level degree. I'm not sure how far off that is going to be, but we're working on those ideas now, trying to flush that. We're trying to make sure that we incorporate the proper level of instruction for students to keep them engaged, to keep them up to date with what's going on in the AI field, and making sure that we can use that to the advantage so that the students can understand where misinformation, disinformation comes, and then be able to identify that as well. So all that comes into play for an effective communicator. So they are well-rounded, very good students, and most of them are very, very excited to be here. There's a few that, this sounds like a cool job, but most of them really, really are interested in what we're doing here and what they're able to do out in the fleet in the field.
For my money, that's really the difference between our students. Not that I've had a ton of teaching experience, but teaching here versus where I think teaching anywhere else would be, is that our students are genuinely interested in what they're learning and they're dedicated to learning it to the best of their ability. And that makes, our job so much easier as instructors. One of the things that you hit on in that answer was ethical considerations and how important they are to what we do. The DINFOS motto is strength through truth. And unfortunately, there's still a lot of folks in the public who think that maybe what military communicators do is propaganda or to spread mis or disinformation. So, if you could respond to those folks who don't necessarily understand what it is that we do here, what would you say about what it is that communicators in the military's job really is as it pertains to supporting the DoD mission?
Be truthful in everything that you do. Highlight the what these stories are, good, bad, and otherwise. I mean, we all have them. We've got to make sure that we're showcasing the personalities, we're showcasing the skill set. We want to be able to avert our adversaries from wanting to get into a fight with us, for the most part. But the only way to do that is to make sure that we understand, and our adversaries understand what our capabilities are. And we need to be above board at all times. There's a lot of misinformation, disinformation. To include the statement, the propaganda side of that.
Right.
That's not what the public communicators do in the U.S. military. We take great pride in making sure strength through truth is enforced at every level, whether it be something as simple as arbitrary, somebody forgot to do some attribution on a particular product or whatever it may be. We enforce that at every opportunity that we can get, so that way we can make sure our students understand that there's a lot of cool tools out there, and sure, you can put pink elephants in the sky with an artificial intelligence software, but is that the ethical answer? No, it is not. We are here to do a mission for our country. We're here to make sure that we're telling the truth at all times, whatever that cost is going to be, and making sure that our adversaries know that we're not one to be toyed with.
For folks who are leaving here as brand new graduates of DINFOS, what skill do you think is the most important one that they need to start utilizing right away when they go out there?
A positive attitude is probably the most important thing in anything that anyone does at any point. With a positive attitude, you can overcome so many different roadblocks. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations out there. You're going to have roadblocks coming your way. There's things that are going to come to you that there's a communication challenge and we don't know how to figure it out. The collective is here. Our faculty are here. Your mentors are there. The public affairs community is a very small, tight-knit community. If you don't have an answer, then somebody should be able to have an answer for you out there. You just got to be able to communicate with those individuals. Feel free to do it. Don't feel that you're all on your own out there, because none of us are on our own. That's part of the great part of being in the military. We're one giant team, regardless of what uniform we're wearing. And in my case, not wearing a uniform anymore. So they're all out there. The public affairs specialists and the visual information folks, they're all there to do a great job. So be open-minded, be positive, and always, always, always look for more education. Every opportunity you get to be better, to know more, only makes you a better asset to yourself, to your family, and to your command.
So for folks who've gone through the MCF course here at DINFOS and are interested in coming back and taking some of our advanced or intermediate courses, what's that process look like for them?
Well, it depends on which course they're going through. We have several courses in the building that are really good. We have advanced intermediate photojournalism course. We have our intermediate multimedia course. We have the digital multimedia course. There's several things, and we're also doing mobile training. So if there's something that we may offer in our catalog that doesn't necessarily fit the bill, or you don't need little bits and pieces of it, you can contact our MTT coordinator, mobile training team coordinator, which is Mel Weatherspoon. And then she can work with both training directorates to make sure that we can put something together and give you some resolve and try to get you some more training. Whether we come to you or you come to us, our goal is to make sure that we take the training outside of DINFOS and make sure that the public affairs community is well served and well trained.
One of the questions that we get a lot is, you know, what should students be prepared for coming in here? Is there anything that they can do ahead of time? What advice would you give to students who have yet to come in the doors and are thinking, how can I best be prepared to be, you know, the best DINFOS student that I can be?
Positive attitude again, yep, goes in everything that we do. But it's also, I hear from a lot of students, oh, well, my recruiter told me, well, I'm just going to be a photographer, or I'm just going to write stories. I love writing stories. I just want to write stories. That is not this. I mean, that is part of it. But what we do here is we teach you every facet of communication that makes you better in your life. If you can understand the concepts that we're teaching here, even getting up and giving a speech someplace or having a communication with, you know, the local shop owner or whatever, just having that open communication, it gives you that skill set and that confidence to be able to do it because you understand those skills. It gets you more open. But in this case, if you're thinking that all you want to do is one thing, the best advice I can give you is to open your mind up and take as much knowledge and experience as you can get. We've got a great program here. We have great mentors. We have awesome instructors, very dedicated to the students. They will help you. They are here at all hours in terms of, you know, most of them come in early or stay late for their students because they want to make sure they understand and they get it. That is probably the best part of DINFOS, outside of just the education itself. The people here, they're very dedicated to our students, and they will stop at almost nothing to make sure the students understand. So be here with an open mind, and don't be siloed into a mindset that I only want to do one thing and one thing only, because in today's day and age, and whether it's in the service or whether it's not, you've got to be more flexible and more adaptable. If you're not, you're going to be limiting yourself and your skills for whatever job that you're going to be doing.
Part of our audience is DINFOS instructors, but I've also come to find instructors from other places too. You know, you spoke of mentors, but obviously as the director of training, you're a mentor here to a lot of people. What advice do you find yourself giving time and time again to the people who ask you for advice?
Well, I do provide a lot of advice. Some of it's unsolicited. However, I would say most of the advice that I try to give is trying to lead people towards creating the answers that they probably already know. Asking questions where they can kind of say, oh, well, that makes more sense. Trying to give them a holistic answer. Because I can answer everybody's question, but if I just answer it, you're not really learning anything. You're not thinking through a process. So my goal is to try to get people to think through a process. And it's not about today. The problems are going to be here tomorrow and next week. I've been here for a long time, and I've had a lot of the same conversations. So from that aspect of it, trying to help people work through those processes to come to the conclusion that makes sense to them is probably the biggest piece that I try to do. I've had several people said, hey, you know, I want to be where you are one day. All right, come on in. Let's go sit down. Let's have that conversation. I'm not going to be here forever, so we're going to need somebody to be able to understand and what to do with it. But bigger picture, not what I do, but what needs to be done. What's the mission and how you're going to best serve that mission. Our leadership comes and goes. I mean, the director of trainings come and go. We've got a lot of different pieces that move on the board, whether it's students or instructors. But if somebody's looking for, you know, it's help to solve a problem, one, effective listening is really good. Trying to understand where they're coming from, and then trying to help them come to their conclusion that works for them.
That's good stuff. As you kind of look towards the future, not only of DINFOS, but our career field and communications as a whole, what do you think the future looks like? Obviously, we've talked about AI. We've talked about how important it is to be able to recognize mis and disinformation and what to do about it. You know, as you look at the information space, as you look at the communications field, and as we look a couple decades down the road, where do you think we're headed?
Oh, I think things have moved a lot in the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 decades in terms of where we are right now. I think that it's going to move even faster in the future. I think the technology is going to move faster than we can react in many cases. So the best that we can do is try to stay on top of that and try to make sure that what we are doing correlates to how to get the information out best to the people who are listening to it. And that may be multiple ways. So we're going to continue being diverse. We're going to continue training some of the best communicators in the world. We're going to continue working to making sure everybody is diverse in their attitudes and diverse in their skill sets. Have that positive mindset and enjoy this job. This is the best job in the world. But things move quick. And if you don't move with them, you're going to kind of wither. So we've got to make sure that we position DINFOS and our students for the best overall light, whatever comes down the pike. I'm not sure what's coming after AI. We're still tackling that right now. But it is a challenge, but it's exciting time because it's a new phase of what you can do and how things are getting done. And sometimes it's a puzzle. You know, where the misinformation and disinformation is coming from, how is it being used, and then how can you strategically place your position or your message to counter that so that way the people get the right information. There's a lot of things going on in the world today that create a lot of angst and frustration. So from that aspect of it, our job, I think, is to make sure that we are the calming voice, straight telling the truth, and making sure that people are getting the information that they need to make a little more informed decisions.
That's one of the best ways that I've ever heard anybody put it. You know, the DINFOS motto being strength through truth is something that I'm endlessly proud of, that I constantly remind our students of. And I think we're one of the last bastions of true ethical journalism that's being created. You know, it is so important to tell the military story accurately and effectively and ethically. And we do such a good job of translating that to our students that we produce some truly incredible professionals that are prepared to go out there and do that exact same thing. And I think that's just vital to the communications mission everywhere, regardless of whether you're military or not, you know?
Absolutely.
Any last advice that you would give to any aspiring communicators that want to come in here? Anything that we haven't hit on? I think the biggest thing you've said is positivity. But I'm always looking for any last good advice for the students. I know they are too.
I know that throughout my training, and I've done a lot of it over the course of time to be able to get prepared for what I'm doing now, is to have fun. I mean, the training is there. Take advantage of that. I mean, where else can you go in the world to have free training and get skill sets that can do the awesome things that it does now? This is an exciting career field that's in the middle of everything. If you look at it right now, it doesn't matter whether you stay in the military 5 years or 30 years. The industry out there is looking for communicators that are effective in trying to relay their message. But there is so much out there. There's a lot of different things that you can do look for the joy in everything that you're trying to do, and that goes along with that positivity. If you can do that and harness all that information as much as you possibly can to be better at who you are, will make you a better person. It will make you a better asset to the service, and will make you just an overall, you know, better in general in terms of what we do and who you are. That's my sincere thought, but I spent 23 years in uniform. There were a few days that were tough here and there, but I've also spent, you know, almost 25 years here in the building. And it's still an awesome place to work, an awesome job to do. So take advantage of it, but just remember, as you're learning, have some fun.
Absolutely. God, what a great way to put it. Final question, any success stories that you'd want to share, either student or instructor, or anything that you'd want to talk about vis-a-vis the MCF program, or anything that you've seen over the years, or anything you've ever been especially proud of that Denfos does or has produced?
I think we have been able to adapt, and that makes me very pleased that Denfos is able to adapt. And we've had a reputation for years of being slow to adapt to our training to what the services actually need. I think that is in the last few years we've changed that mindset. So that I'm very proud of, but probably more so, in my opinion, I'm in total awe of our instructors. I see the dedication. I mean, everybody's got, you know, a couple of issues here that we can work through. It's all small and relative to the mission itself, and those instructors that come here and dedicate their time to these students, I'm in awe. I mean, I have worked in public schools, high schools, colleges, elementary schools, and Denfos, as well as Navy schools. The dedication level of the faculty here is awe-inspiring. So no matter what happens, any challenges that get thrown my way throughout the day or how many meetings I may have, I know that I can rest assured that our students are taken care of because our faculty are awesome.
Well, thank you. That is a compliment that I will take to finish the episode. I appreciate that. And I'll take that for all of us. So for all of our instructors listening, I know we appreciate that. And I couldn't agree with you more. This is the most talented group of people I've ever worked with. So thank you for saying so. Sir, thank you for joining on this episode. You know, I think the students that are going to come in are going to listen to this episode, know a little bit more about what we do. I think that some of the officer and older enlisted corps out there are going to listen and learn a little bit more about what we do as well. And as well as some of the civilians out there that have questions and concerns about what the school is. So extremely informative episode, and I really appreciate you joining us.
Well, I appreciate you having me. Thanks for asking me to do this. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, sir.